Well, we're in the midst of taking a look at Psalm 23. And as we do, we are discovering some wonderful things about our relationship with God. The Lord is my shepherd, says it all. God is a shepherd who knows us. God is a shepherd who searches for us. God is a shepherd who seeks to provide for us, protect us, guide us, correct us. What a comforting picture that is of a relationship with him. And given that fact, it would seem appropriate to surmise that life should be pretty damage-free once we come into a relationship with a shepherd, wouldn't it? The fact of the matter is, it's not true. Those of you who know Christ know it to be true. Those of you who have not yet received the shepherd need to know that it is true and need to know this truth, that life is difficult. Sometimes life is painful. Sometimes we experience pain. Even David, the author of the psalm, knew this intimately. He knew God loved him, and yet he said this in Psalm 42. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Why are you downcast, O my soul? You see, David knew what it was to be cast down and in pain. He'd experienced deficit in his life. He'd experienced defeat in his life. And he was frustrated with his having given into temptation. He knew grief intimately. He experienced the pain others have brought to bear in his life. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Can you hear the anguish in that statement? David is using a term every shepherd would understand when he talks about being cast down. You see, it's a position that sheep get themselves in and they can't get out of. Sheep are built in such a way that if they fall over on their side and then over on their back, with their legs sticking straight up in the air, they cannot get out of that position by themselves. They're helpless to get back up on their feet again. The shepherd's term for that is that the sheep is cast down. It's kind of frightening when a sheep falls down on its side and then on its back because it kicks and flails in the air. It bleats. It cries out. It knows it's open to attack. Any animal could come and attack it, and it is helpless. It's a very serious condition. And they're not only vulnerable to attack, they're also in physical danger because when a sheep lay on its back, gas begins to collect in their stomach. It hardens the stomach, cuts off the air passage, and they suffocate in a matter of hours. Now, not only that, but their legs go numb in that position. On a hot day, a sheep is cast down, and that position can cause death in just a matter of hours. They can't do anything about it. They need a shepherd who restores their position. Now, David says he is cast down, he is depressed, he is dejected, he is discouraged. He needs a shepherd to restore his soul, just like the sheep he cares for. Do you ever have that need? I wonder, do you now? To one degree or another, we can relate to David. To one degree or another, we carry around damaged emotions. And there are really three causes to our damaged emotions. They're really a product of, number one, what I do to me. Some of us carry around a load of guilt because of careless life choices, thoughtless words, reckless actions. And we carry around the resultant burden of regret and disappointment on ourselves. Can you relate? I check this off in my life, what I do to me. The second cause of damaged emotions is what life does to me, what life situations do to me. Many of us walk around wounded because of life circumstances that are painful. They're tragedies, heartaches, disappointments. Could have happened this week or could have happened 10 years ago. We carry the pain and confusion. What others do to me is the third. It's the third cause of damaged emotions in our lives. What others do to me. Many of us have been wounded by the actions, the words of another, and our natural instinct is to harbor resentment. The fact of the matter is, no matter what the cause, the result is the same, a downcast soul. Another way of describing damaged emotions. So what's the antidote? What's the solution? Here it is. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. You see, the shepherd is in the business of searching you out and seeking to restore your soul to health and safety. Does that sound kind of inviting? Would you like the shepherd to restore your soul? The fact of the matter is, he wants to. Here's how you appropriate that into your life. Here's how you open the door to allowing the shepherd to restore your soul. The first is to let God remove your guilt. Nothing destroys a soul faster than guilt. There are two problems with guilt. First, we have plenty of reasons to feel guilty. We're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. By nature, we all carry guilt in our lives. And secondly, we can't get away from it. It's in our mind. Even if we go to a new location, we carry that guilty conscience with us. In fact, Psalm 38 says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long, I go about mourning. How do you get rid of guilt? How do you deal with guilt in your life? Well, you know, there are a lot of options that we employ. You can deny it. You can pretend it doesn't exist. But denying it doesn't relieve guilt. Or you can minimize it. You can say, hey, it's no big deal. Not that big of a sin. Well, if it's not that big a deal, then why are you still remembering it? Why can't you forget it? You see, minimizing it doesn't work. Or you can compromise it by lowering your standards. If you feel guilty about something, you just say, I don't believe it's wrong anymore. But the fact of the matter is that doesn't relieve the guilt. Or how about rationalizing? We're good at that. You can rationalize your guilt. Well, everybody does it. But whenever I rationalize my guilt, I'm trying to convince my heart about something I know is wrong with my head by saying it's okay. But the fact of the matter is your heart always wins out over your head. You can blame other people. That's another popular one that we employ. But when you blame other people, it just doesn't make it any easier on you. The fact of the matter is none of these things work. There's only one solution to your guilt. You've got to give it to God. He's the only one that can remove it. The Bible says that we all have sinned and that the wages of sin is death. And that's not only physical death, it's internal death too. The most basic truth of Christianity is Jesus Christ has already paid for all of your sins. Do you hear that? Jesus Christ has already paid for all of your sins. Everything you've ever done wrong has already been paid for. Everything you've already committed, the stuff you're going to do later, all of the sins, mistakes, regrets in your future have already been paid for. You just need to ask God to forgive you and accept what Jesus did for you on the cross, where he's already paid for all of your sins. Just accept it. Just receive it. That's how your guilt will be removed. There's no other way. You can go to a psychologist all day long, but a psychologist isn't going to remove your guilt. They don't have the power to forgive you. You didn't hurt them. But the creator of the universe, he does have the power to forgive you. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what's in your past, and it doesn't matter. Because your forgiveness is not based on how bad you've been, but how good God is. What matters is not what you've done. What matters is what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Trust in him. The first cause of damaged emotions is what I have done to me. And the solution of restoring your soul is to allow the shepherd to remove your guilt. But secondly, the second way to allow an open door to the shepherd restoring your soul is to let God relieve your grief. You see, not all of the things in life that damages me do I bring on myself. Not all the things that damage you do you bring on yourself. Sometimes I have grief because of things that are done to me, things that have happened to me. The fact is, you will be hurt in life. You'll experience loneliness in life. This is not heaven. This is earth. It's imperfect down here. Some days you're going to be lonely. Some days your heart's going to be broken. Some days you're going to feel in despair. Some days you're going to feel all alone. Some days you'll experience sorrow and loss and grief. Her name was Jan. She was a part of my church for years, and then she and her husband, they moved to Colorado Springs. And she kept in contact during the years, and And as life would have it, she drew nearer to Christ as she was away, and her husband didn't. And pretty soon she wrote me and said that Brad had left her and that he was filing for divorce. And she wrote to me and she said, you know, that it just doesn't make any sense because I've drawn closer to God and yet my life is blowing apart. And while my marriage seems to be over, I want to do whatever I can to make it work. I want to take every step that I possibly can to make our marriage work, to restore our marriage. As I grow closer and closer to Christ, even though my world is falling around me, I feel full and rich. And I want to be able to stand before God one day and say that I did everything that I possibly could. I pray that that'll work. It doesn't look like it's going to. And my heart is breaking. But my heart is full because of God's love. And he is sustaining me. He is sustaining me. You know, if you identify with any of those emotions that Jan's going through, I want to say to you today that I'm sorry that you're hurting, and I want you to know that God knows what you're going through. God hurts with you, and he cares about your hurt. What do you do when your heart is breaking? What do you do when the grief overwhelms you in life? Do you throw a giant pity party, which we're really good at? Or do you play the if-only game? Or do you withdraw into a shell, hide in a cave, isolate yourself from humanity and say, I'll never let another man hurt me? Do you just pull back and resign from life and be miserable the rest of your life? Well, there's another option. You can let Jesus restore your soul. Here's a fact. David in the Bible, he was very acquainted with grief. He understood how much it damages our soul when we hurt. Psalm 31, he says, Lord, have mercy because I'm in misery. My eyes are weak from so much crying, and my whole being is tired from grief. He's saying that he knows how it damages the soul. You see, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David gives us some tips on how to handle grief. Here's the context. David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed in an effort to cover up the sin. He carried guilt over that, but he let God remove his guilt, and he confessed it to God in Psalm 51. If you are carrying guilt, then you need to read Psalm 51 and find restoration. But then he feels grief. Bathsheba, she bore a child from that illicit union, and they had a baby. And when the baby was born, it was very sick, and David grieved over that, and he got on his knees, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he said, God, this baby hasn't done anything wrong. I'm the one who blew it. I'm the one who made the mistake. I'm the one who's affected everyone else's life in a negative way. Save the baby. He's done nothing wrong. But the baby died anyway. And what did David do with his grief then? He did three things that are instructive for us. We need to see them. There are things that we need to do if we're going to allow God to restore our soul. The first is accept what cannot be changed. You've been hurt by parents, partners, peers. All of the grieving in the world is not going to change the past. The first step to emotional health, healing, restoring your soul is acceptance. 2 Samuel 12, David says, Then David got up from the ground. He answered, While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? In other words, I need to accept what cannot be changed. I can't change my background. I can't change my hurt, the hurts I've experienced, and neither can you. Acceptance is the first key to healing the mind, the will, the emotions. The first key to a peace of mind, to restoring your soul, accept what cannot be changed. And the second thing that David shows us is don't exaggerate it. Dedicate it. In other words, don't focus on the pain and exaggerate it, because when we focus on the pain, guess what? It gets bigger. We need to focus on God and dedicate it. Give it to him. You're going to be hurt in life. Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. Can I say that again? Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. The Bible says, Blessed are those that mourn, But all too often, we take our mourning and we hold on to it so long that it turns into moaning. The Bible says, don't exaggerate it, dedicate it, give it to God. Verse 20, it says, after he had washed, he put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He went to church. And at church, he worshiped God, which gave him a new perspective and the strength to carry on. Accept what cannot be changed, he shows us. Don't exaggerate it, dedicate it. And then thirdly, focus on what's left, not on what's lost. Some of you are going through some grief right now. And here's the fact. God is not finished with your life yet. He's not through with you. Your pain is not going to be the final chapter of your life story. This is not the end. It hurts. But it doesn't have to devastate you if you'll open up your life to Christ and let him heal your emotions. Ask God, say, remove my guilt, Lord, and relieve my grief. In verse 24, it says, then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her, and she gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. You see, this shows that if you're still alive, then God's not through with you. And the rest of your life can be the best of your life. And lastly, let God replace your grudges. Grudges come from what people do to you, the pain that people cause you, what they've done, what they've said. I feel guilty for what I've done to others, but I feel grudges about what others have done to me. You're going to be hurt in life. That's a fact of life. Life is not fair. People will hurt you, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Either way, it still hurts. How you handle the resentments of life determine whether you are a bitter person or a better person. And the difference between better and bitter is the letter I. I make the choice. I can choose whether the circumstances will devastate me or direct me to a new path, whether it'll make me bitter or better. What do I do with all the hurts that have piled up, all the emotional garbage that I still resent? And when those people come to mind, it just tightens my stomach up. That's why in Job 18, verse 4, it says, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. Why? Because resentment never hurts the other person. It only hurts you. The other person might be totally oblivious to the fact that you're even thinking about them. They've gone on with their lives. Some of you are continuing to allow people from your past to hurt you now, and that's just not smart. Your past is past. They cannot hurt you anymore unless you keep rehearsing it in your mind. Every time you rehearse that resentment, they'll hurt you again. They may not even be around. They may be dead. And yet they're still hurting you from the grave, and that's just not smart. You don't hurt them by resenting. Holding on to a hurt only hurts you. So what do you do with your grudges, the resentments that you have about other people hurting you? Well, the Bible says this in Ephesians 4, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. One day, God is going to settle the score. In the meantime, he says, get rid of all bitterness. How about you forgive each other as I've forgiven you? If you've been forgiven, then God expects you to be forgiving. And here's the truth, is that you'll never have to forgive another person more than God has already forgiven you. Are you still allowing people in your past to hurt you? Stop. Don't let them hurt you anymore. They can't hurt you without your permission. The past is past. Give God your grief. Give God your guilt. Give God your grudges. I wonder, are you like one of those helpless sheep, cast down, helpless, flailing because of damaged emotions? Are you stuck in your guilt? And how about your grief? Are you still holding on to it and you're moaning instead of mourning? And how about your grudges? Are they haunting you? You don't need a self-help book. You need a shepherd. You need a Savior. Only a Savior can forgive that guilt. Only the shepherd can relieve your grief. Only the shepherd can replace your grudges. Jesus wants to heal your damaged emotions. He will restore your soul if you let him. When a shepherd restores a cast down sheep, it just doesn't happen immediately. It takes time to restore a cast down sheep. First, the shepherd will come to the sheep laying on its back with its legs sticking straight up in the air. And the first thing the shepherd does is lovingly massage the four legs to get some circulation back. Then he begins to talk in a reassuring tone to the sheep. You're going to make it. You're going to be fine. And then he gently turns the sheep over, puts his hand into the sheep's belly and lifts it up because it can't stand up on its own because of its wobbly feet. And he'll hold that sheep there until it gains some equilibrium, and then he lets it go. What a picture of what God wants to do for you. When you're on your back and you're flailing around and the grief, the guilt, the grudges are overwhelming you and you think you're going to die in that position, the Lord is your shepherd. He lovingly comes with reassuring words and tender hands. He picks you up and he sets you straight until you can get on your own feet again. And he carries it and he carries you until that stability is back. Jesus wants to restore your soul. If you've been cast down for any reason, he's the only one who can help you back up on your feet. And when he restores your soul, he restores your confidence and your joy and your peace and your strength. We can restore a lot of things. We can restore cars. We can restore paintings, sound recordings, buildings. But only God can restore a soul. Jesus wants to heal your soul. And how does he do it? The Bible tells us in Job 11, if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble. Life will be brighter. Jesus will restore your soul. Let him be your shepherd, your savior. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are our shepherd and that you seek to restore our souls. And so, Lord, for the pain that I've caused myself, I open up my life to you and say, come into my life, Lord Jesus, and forgive my guilt. I pray, Lord, that for every person sitting here, that we'd open up our hearts, say, Lord, come in and forgive our sins, relieve our guilt, forgive our guilt. And for those pains that some people are carrying, Lord, because of life circumstances, I pray that you would relieve their grief, that they would open up their hearts and they would say, come into my life, Lord Jesus, and replace my grief with joy. And then for those things that have been done to us, those things said to us by others, Lord, that you would replace our grudges with forgiveness. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you walk through life with each one of us, that you don't desire that we would live alone. And so manifest yourself in each heart here today. Restore our souls, Lord Jesus. In your powerful name, amen.